Paid Stags has a special for us.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever worship you. I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only will I dance for you, Jesus, or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine, yeah, I can only imagine. I can only imagine, yeah. forever worship you. I can only imagine.
You would stand and turn to page 222. Sing Praise Him, Praise Him.
Thank you.
Foster has a special word.
He did it.
He did it?
He did it.
Good.
I reckon I can give a testimony, can't I?
Sure.
Well, I'm certainly glad to be here today. It's a great place to be. You know, sometimes you sit around and think about, what if you wasn't a saved person, where would you be? I know where I'd have been, probably. Because I used to be an alcoholic. I had to be able to admit to that years ago. I was about 37 years old before I ever got saved. And it has changed my life. It's never been the same since.
Amen.
And I just thank the Lord today for all that He's gave us. The Lord's pulled me through a lot of hard times, a lot of wrecks I had. And I'm not going into all that because I know He was there. But I just want to thank Him today for saving my soul. And there is a few songs that, now I'm not musically inclined, I can't follow music. I'm like somebody who's plowing in a field and don't know what they're doing. They're all over it. So I'm all over music if you try it with me, because I can't hear music real good. But there's some songs that the Lord has let me learn, and I hope you get an enjoyment out of this one. Someday when I travel my last mile here, the call will be coming for me. I'll enter the lifeboat that will be near to carry me over the sea. He'll hold to my hand as over this river I go. Then safe I'll be in beautiful heaven, I know. My boat shall sail safely, the waves dash high, for Jesus will be at my side. He'll still the rough waters when by and by I'm a-crossing that river so wide. He'll hold to my hand as over this river I go. Then safe I'll be in beautiful heaven, I know. I'm ready to go to that golden shore, to live there while ages shall roll. I want to see Jesus and saints of yore in heaven, the home of the soul. He'll hold to my hand as over this river I go. Then safe I shall be in beautiful heaven, I know.
Thank you all very much for those specials. It's good. I forgot to put the mic on this morning.
We started here a couple of weeks ago looking at a series called The House Upon the Rock. The House Upon the Rock. And we're going to continue with that. A House Upon the Rock. I do want to thank Todd for filling in for me last Sunday evening. Appreciate that. And I got great reports back. And thank you so much for filling in. We have a business meeting next Sunday evening at 6 o'clock. To talk about some of the things that were left undone at the last meeting. And then we have the Ray Roberts offering this week. So if you'd like to give towards that offering, use the envelopes there to designate that. And let's see, WMU meeting at 7 o'clock on September the 13th. So that's a ways out there a little bit. And ladies' retreat coming up the middle of September as well. Okay, turn if you would to Psalms chapter 27. I'm sorry, Psalms chapter 61. Psalms chapter 61 and in verse 1. Psalm 61 and in verse 1. We began looking at the house built upon the rock. Brother Todd had a wonderful Sunday school lesson today on the foundation, which is Christ Jesus. And that's how we began this series, and that the Lord is our foundation. Jesus Christ is our foundation. As Christians, He is what we stand on. We don't stand behind anything else. We stand on Jesus Christ. That's what we stand on. And it's a sure rock. It's a sure foundation. We looked at how that He was the rock for the nation of Israel and how that water came out of that rock, and we can speak to that rock today and have everlasting water come out, living water come out. We looked and saw that for every house, and when I say a house, again, I'm talking about a home. For every home that is built, we must build that home, if you're a Christian, on Christ Jesus. And we build our house upon the rock, Christ Jesus, when we build our house with a biblical worldview. When we place our house in a way that aligns with Scripture. When you go to build a house, you've got to figure out which way it's going to point. Or you're going to be in an awful mess. You have the back door in the front or in the side. Or you'll have to go through somebody's field to get into the garage. You got to figure out how you're going to line a house when you're going to build it. And it's no different when you're building a home for the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to figure out how you're going to be aligned. What is your worldview? Listen, I have a worldview. I have a worldview, and it's called a biblical worldview. Now you're saying, oh, you're saying that everything you think is biblical. No, I wished it was. Lord willing, someday it will be. Well, let me back up. Someday it is God's will that it will be. When I stare Jesus face to face, I will have a pure heart, a pure motive, a pure mind. Everything will be pure. I have an absolute, crystal clear, better than 2020 view on everything. Not just life, but eternity. And you will too, if you're a believer. But what about right now? Listen, a person comes up to me and says, what do you believe about abortion? I'll say, well, I believe that Jeremiah was told that before he was formed in the womb, God knew him. Okay? Biblical worldview. Somebody says, well, what do you feel, how do you feel about the homosexual movement? I'll go over to Romans chapter 1 and read down through there and say that they have rejected the Creator God, and God's turned them over to their own destruction. And show them, chapter and verse. Go back to Sodom and Gomorrah and show that God called what they participated in as wickedness. Wickedness. Biblical worldview. Biblical worldview. A man says, how do you feel about the One World Church, the New Age movement? How do you feel about all the churches just getting together and having one religion? I'll go over there, the book of Revelations, and I'll show them that that's exactly what's going to happen someday. All the religions are going to be united under the Antichrist. And then when Christ comes along, all the religions are going to be blown up and are just going to be serve God, serve the Lord. The king sits on the throne. Biblical worldview. Now listen, these things aren't the popular worldview. They're the biblical worldview. So you have to figure out what vantage points you're going to have when you build a house. When I grew up, I didn't really appreciate this until I met Melissa, and we got married, and she came and moved to this area. I didn't really appreciate the view that I had growing up. When you walk out of my parents' door and look out across these fields, there are crops there, beautifully maintained. Not our crops, I'm not bragging on our crops. Beautifully maintained crops. There are hills. Ford Hill is in the back there on the in the northern view. Just absolutely beautiful. And until you take time to appreciate it, you just take it for granted. But somebody placed a house there with a good view. A good view. Now, what about your view as a family? What kind of view do you have? You know, I lived in Cincinnati for a while. And when I lived in Cincinnati, when I looked out the back door, I looked out the back, out that back door at another back door. And I'm used to just looking out windows, right? I was afraid I was going to get called as a peeping Tom or something because I'd be looking out the window just looking to see maybe a bird will land or something, you know? In the city, you don't have a lot of choices on your view at times. It's very common for people to move to this area just so they can have a little space and a little bit of a view, right? But how about your home? What kind of a view? Listen, there are Christians that have homes that don't have a biblical worldview. And they're falling apart. The way any house will fall apart if it's not maintained, if it's not taken care of, if it's not in the right setting, if it doesn't have the right people with the right view taking care of it. How about your view? Biblical worldview? We must have a biblical worldview. And as we build our house, our home upon Christ, and as we gain our vantage point and our direction, and as we use the Bible as the standard for our viewpoints, our home will become stronger and better. When you go build again, you have to have a few standards if you're going to build a house right. I left my square at Todd's house, here, Todd Scott's house here a few weeks ago. And I went to build something, Scotty and I went to build something this week. And you know what? It just about drove me crazy not having a square. It's so easy to build with a square and so difficult to build without one. A level. A level is also a standard. It's hard to build something if you don't have a level. If you don't just see, if you can't just get a level, if you can't just figure out what level is, then you're going to have the Leaning Tower of Pisa when you get done. The same way spiritually. This book is a square. It's a square. Oh, it's a rectangle, right? But it's got a right angle, and I mean it is squares with truth perfectly. Perfectly. No chips in it. No bends in it. It squares with truth perfectly. And I tell you what, it will level with you every single time. You say, God, it's so important. I got to get this right. My family, I love my family. I want to get it right. It'll square with you and level with you right every single time. You can trust. You can build upon it. You can build upon it. And when you build upon Christ and when you build upon His Word, one of the things that the Word will teach us and that God's Spirit will teach us is that we must pray together. Families must pray together. Churches must pray together. Certainly that's the case. We meet specially on Wednesday evenings. we meet to pray together. We meet so that we can go over the things that are occurring within this church family and pray. And it's important. It's important. It's one of the most important things that this church does, because God answers prayer. You're already there, Psalms chapter 61. It says, "Hear my cry, O God, and tend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Listen, when we pray, we should pray as a family. We should pray together. Pray together. There have been certain things that my family has gone through that it was just great. It was just a great comfort to me for my family and I to be able to pray together. And here, when we pray and it says, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." You know what I find out? That Christ the foundation, God the Word is the foundation, that prayer is another part of the foundation. It's another part of the foundation. Our families must be bathed in prayer. They're going to be strong. It's foundational. It's just a principle that you can't get around. It's just a principle that will work every single time. A prayer, we've heard it, a family that prays together, what? Stays together. You think there's any truth in that? Absolutely. Absolutely. Amen. There's truth in that. We live in a day and age where families are falling apart left and right. Now, is it possible for a family that's praying together to fall apart? Yes. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. When we pray, we can even pray carnally. But I tell you what, it's improbable that that would be the case. It's improbable. Prayer is foundational. Prayer is a rock. Prayer is a rock to build your family's home upon. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Listen, when I pray, I don't want to pray to somebody that's on my equal. I want to pray. I don't want to pray to an equal. You want to pray to an equal? I don't want a book that's no smarter than I, and I don't want a God that's no smarter than I, or no more powerful than I. Listen, I don't need just a partner in all this. I need a Savior. I need a rock. I need somebody firm and strong. When I pray, that's what I need. That's what I need. I need somebody that can get the job done, somebody that can get the answers done. Why, somebody no more powerful than me or no smarter than me, they couldn't get anything else done. They couldn't get any more done than I could. But God's a rock, strong, strong. We pray to Him when we're overwhelmed. We pray to Him when we're overwhelmed. Listen, it's good to pray for Him in all situations. It's good to pray for Him daily. Would you agree with that? But I tell you what, when we're overwhelmed, we don't have a lot of trouble. We don't have a lot of trouble realizing the importance of this rock, of this foundation. When I'm overwhelmed, it said. Turn to Psalms chapter 77. Psalms chapter 77 and verse 1. Psalms chapter 77. Now, this psalmist here, he's been through some things that we've been through. I know that. I know that because he is praying some things that we felt like praying before. He says, "I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted." Have you ever just laid down at night and things just keep on, and you can't shut your mind off, and you can't turn it off, and things just keep on overwhelming you, and it just keeps on racing on, and the psalmist here refers to it as an open sore, and it just keeps on running? Have you ever been there? Psalmist here has been there. He's been there and he's overwhelmed. Overwhelmed. What did he do? I remember God, verse 3, and was troubled. I remember God and I was troubled. Troubled. You say, well, hold it. No, that's not the formula. That's not what I learned. That's not what TV evangelist has taught me. TV evangelism has taught me. That's not what the radio says. It says, when you pray and all these things, everything's going to be fixed. When you get saved, it's all going to be a bed of roses and all these things. No, no, that's not it. That's not it. We can all bear witness to that. Who in here would stand up and say, now, if you'd say it, I believe you. Okay, I just believe you. But you'd say, since you got saved, everything's been a bed of roses. You've never had a problem. You stand up and do it. Stand up and do it. No. Neither would this psalmist. He said, I remember God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Have you ever been tempted to complain on God? The nation of Israel complained on God. They complained about Moses and Aaron, but they mainly complained about God. What did God bring us out here for? In the middle of this old wilderness. We'd be better off sitting back there and eat onions and leeks than be out here in this wilderness dying, starving, thirsting. They complained on God. Complained on Him. Here he says, I complained. I complained. Is there any comfort in complaining? I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. I guess if you're going to complain, you'd be better off complaining to God, not about God, but to God, than anybody else. And I guess praying is the opposite of complaining to man, many times. Many times our prayer is the opposite of complaining to man. We can either go complain about it, or we can just go pray about it. Opposite, the opposite. Complaining doesn't bring you any comfort. It just magnifies the problem. Have you ever experienced that? Just a little old thing gets bigger and bigger and bigger and festers into a monster. The more you complain about it, the more you talk about it, the more you think about it. It just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And what's the opposite? Cast your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. You can just go water that thing and fester that and just go let that old complaint rot by feeding it more and more stuff to rot, or you can just cast the care on Jesus, for He careth for you. Praying many times is the opposite of complaining to men. The psalmist here, if you read down through this, I guess we probably don't have time to read it all, but we'll read a little ways down through here. It says, verse 4, Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old and the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I continue with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? Is He gone forever? Has He cast me off forever? Is He never ever going to hear me again? And will He be favorable no more? Is His mercy clean gone forever? Does His promise fail forevermore? Boy, tough questions. Tough questions. And this man's looking, and he's searching, and he's hurting. And he says, is His mercy clean gone forever? Does His promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Well, we have a God that loves mercy and is ever gracious. Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath He in anger shut up His tender mercies? Selah. Look down in verse 11, he says, I will remember thy works. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? You know, one of the things when we pray as a family, one of the things we have to do is we have to remember all the things that God's done for us already. Hey, you know an absolute miracle? Here's an absolute miracle. That God put your family together the way it is today. That's an absolute miracle. Only the grace of God could do that. You say, well, there's some things I'd change about my family. Well, don't. Don't. Let God change them. They need to be changed. If not, just go with it. Just go with it. Right? Let God change it. Listen, there's some change. There's things we need to change about ourselves. Right? But you just pray for your family. You bathe them in prayer. You stand upon that rock. You remember the things that God's done. You remember His grace. You remember His mercies. And God will answer those prayers. He'll answer them. Because He's a solid rock. He's a rock that we can rest our whole family's life on. I tell you what, while we're in here in Psalms, go to Psalm 73. You ever get to feeling sorry for yourself? You can find comfort here in Psalm 77, but then there's answers. And then here in Psalm 73. In Psalm 73, the psalmist says, Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me. You know, he's been good to Israel. But as for me. Now, have you ever thought this way? Have you ever thought, well, he seems to answer this person's prayer, but as for me, but now I'm a different situation. Now, this guy seems to have faith in him, and he seems to always get his prayers answered, but me, on the other hand, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, for there are no bands in their death. But their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. And we could read on and on and on there. What is wrong with the vantage point that this house is built upon? It's overlooking his neighbors. It's looking out on his neighbors. And he said, boy, they don't seem to have any problems. Even the most ungodly of them, they seem to have enough money. They seem to be able to get a new vehicle all the time. They seem to have this. They seem to do this. Wrong vantage point. Your house shouldn't be looking over what the Joneses are doing. Are there any Joneses in here? Okay. Didn't offend any Joneses this morning. Good. Our house shouldn't be looking out over what the Joneses are doing. We said this before. The Joneses are in debt over their head anyway. Who wants to emulate that? On a bunch of stuff they never needed in the first place. And you don't need it either. So who cares what the Joneses are doing? Wrong vantage point. And he looks at this thing, and he looks and he says, even when they die, things just seem like funeral goes well and all that. But then, where are we at? Psalm 73. Look down at verse 11, and they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Look down in verse 16. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Verse 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. No sure footing for those folks. They're not on a sound, sure rock. Slippery places. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down in destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors. as a dream, when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I, and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. By my right hand. And on, and what a transformation. He says, I went into the sanctuary, and then it dawned on me. Those folks are living for today, and they're going to be gone tomorrow. And they have a certain end. And we as believers, building our house, aren't to live for today. We're to live for eternity. We should sacrifice the little things that make a difference in this life to emphasize the great things that make a difference in eternity. The foundation. What's your foundation on? Psalms 37 is a good answer to this chapter. Psalms 138 is a good answer to this chapter. There are many, many good answers to the sorrow of the people that were in to a person that is in discouragement and needing encouragement. Turn to Psalms chapter 27. Psalms 27 and in verse 4. Psalms 27 and verse 4. Let's look here together. Great chapter in the Bible. My wife likes lighthouses. You come to my house, you'll see lighthouses here and there. And there's a good verse here on light. The Lord is my light and my salvation, in verse 1. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And it goes on and talks about the strength of the Lord. You get down to verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. In His temple. Now we're going to read verse 5 and verse 6 to go along with this. But let me give you another foundation to build your home upon, to build your house upon. According to the Word of God, here is another rock. Here is another part of the rock to rest your home on. And it is simply this, that church attendance should be A given. In other words, the kids don't wake up and say, Mom and Dad, are we going to church today? Now, they might have to decide which one they're going to ride with if you guys are take separate vehicles like we do sometimes. But it's never, ever to be an issue that's debatable or negotiable on whether or not you're going to church. Church is a given. Here he says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. And we need to also. We need to desire this, we need to seek after it, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Now listen, it's talking about the beauty of the Lord here. Now that tabernacle was a wonderful tabernacle. That temple was a beautiful structure. Beautiful structure. But that's not what the psalmist was desiring. He wanted to come into that temple to be with the Lord. Be with the Lord. He said, well, the Lord's with me every minute of every day. I believe it. I believe it. I agree with you. I agree with you. But he meets with his believers in a church building in a special way. In a special way. When people will come seeking to be with him and to worship him, to honor him, to praise him. He says, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Why? To behold the beauty of the Lord. And to inquire in his temple. Come for instruction. to behold the beauty of the Lord. You know how we praise God most? When we pray to God. When we seek His instruction. When we are just naive enough, just sold out enough to believe that He has answers in this one book. And then we'll go and we'll bow before Him and His throne and say, God, please feed us with Your book. We praise Him. We praise Him. We honor Him. Verse 5. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. A rock. Well, I tell you what. If a local church can become a pavilion, a sanctuary, a rock where the hurting world can come in like they're entering a hospital to get help, then a great work is done. And a church is founded upon the right things, the right one, and resting upon a solid rock. You know, there are, I run into Christians all the time, all over the place, that'd rather be a debater than a soul winner. And they can talk, it don't matter. You give them the subject, it don't matter. You want to talk politics, they'll debate you on politics. And they'll have a position, and there's nothing wrong with having a position on politics. I'm not criticizing that at all. I think there are right things and wrong things. But listen, people just love to debate and argue and fight. And it don't matter if it's politics, it's religion, it don't matter. Sports, it don't matter. You just want to gnaw on each other. That's not what a church should ever be. That's not what a home should ever be. Home should never be that. It shows carnality when our homes are a place of fighting and debating and arguing, criticizing, complaining. It shows that. In any organization, in any place, it shows carnality. It's a demonstration of not resting upon the rock. For in the times of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Verse 6. And now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing. Yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Honoring Christ. Honoring Christ. He says He'll lift. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies around about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. There's that vantage point again. Right? Instead of just face to face with your enemies. Instead of just nose to nose. It lifts us up so we can see over the problems, over the issues, and say, you know what, there's a whole lot more going on here than the fact that there's disagreement, or that there is an enemy. He lifts us up. He lifts us up. He gives us a vantage point. We can look right over those things. Therefore, will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. He said, oh, hold it here. Those things don't work. Those don't match. To sacrifice and to have joy? How can I have joy when I've got to sacrifice? If you really ask that and don't know the answer, it may be because you've really never known what it is to love somebody more than you love yourself. You think about that. If you love somebody dearly, to do for them brings joy. I mentioned we were working on a project this week. just a little building project. A little project, I think, going to help Melissa out. Something she's been wanting for a little while. And you know what? My mind got on that thing, and I just could not get off of it. I was not going to be able to be satisfied until I got that project done. Now, have you ever been there? I think men are built this way sometimes more than women. Women can have 20 things going on and get them all done. But sometimes men just have to get one thing and just put their focus on it and say, I will not quit until this is done. Now, not all men made that way. I'm not saying that, but some of us are. Project-oriented, task-oriented. And you know what? It was eating me alive that I didn't have this thing done. And I wanted it done. And we got it done. We got it done. And there was such joy there. Such joy. Because it turned out all right. Turned out all right. To sacrifice, can there be joy with sacrifice? I tell you what, sometimes I wonder if there can ever be joy without sacrifice. Without sacrifice. Oh, there might be fun. But joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Listen, you know why we're going to have joy unspeakable and full of glory? Jesus Christ sacrificed. He paid the sacrifice. He paid the price. Or we would have no joy. We would have none. And it says to sacrifice. Sacrifice. Church is to be a given. Church is to be a given. I will offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing. Yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. That's what it is to worship. Is to sing praises, is to sacrifice, is to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we sing Christ's praises? How about in the home? Do we sing Christ's praises in the home? Is God the good guy or the bad guy? Is God the old meanie that's going to get you if you mess up? Or is God the one that put the food on the table and gave you the table to put it on, and a house over your head, and to be thanked for everything, to be praised, to be honored, to be exalted. Right? Church is to be a given. It should never be debatable. You say, well, you'll harm them. You'll harm them. I talk to people all the time. I knock on doors, and I say, you're going to church anywhere? Well, I went when I was a boy. My mom made me go. She would drag me there kicking and screaming. And I said, as soon as I got out on my own, I'd never go back to church again. You ever heard that? Is it true? No, it's not true. It's not true. Doesn't matter anyway. You like to go to school? Would they have? Is there times where they had to tell you that you had to get on that bus and get to school, or you was going to get a whipping? Are you going to get grounded or whatever? You send your kids to school. It's the right thing to do. You are not going to hurt little Susie or little Johnny's ego and psyche by sending them to Sunday school. Nope, let me back up. By taking them to Sunday school. Not going to hurt them. Not going to hurt them a little bit. Not even a little bit. They're going to learn that there are some things in life that are important. You say, well, what about those other people? Listen, you just give them an opportunity, they'll give you 20 other excuses as to why they're not going to serve God. The bottom line is they've just got their own life and they're going to live it. Okay? So don't by the excuses. Church should be a given. Last place, Psalms 18 and verse 46. We'll end here. Psalms 18 and verse 46. Church should be a given. If you're going to build your house, it's a rock, it's a part of the rock, church should be a given. And when we come to church should be a place where we don't come with duty, we come with reverence. We come with respect. We come desiring to praise the one who is worthy of praise, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's to be exalted. Psalms 18 and verse 46. The Lord liveth. Listen, if there isn't any other good reason to come to church, right, there's a good one. Because God's still alive. And the Lord still lives. and the one whose resurrection we celebrate, the fact that He lives, the fact that He died and was buried because of our sins, and rose again the third day, the Lord liveth. That's a reason right there to come to church. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock. My rock. And let the God of my salvation be exalted. Be exalted. You know, I sometimes wonder how people can draw the conclusions that they draw on different things. We have a nation that believes that a church is to be picked by how many activities there are for the people that are coming there. Do they have a gymnasium? Do they have a softball league? Do they have this for this age group and this for and that for that age group? And all these things. And listen, I can tell you without any shame, without any reservation, that none of that stuff amounts to a hill of beans. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the one worthy of our praise and to be exalted. And when we come to this place of worship, it is my desire to preach Jesus Christ crucified, risen, and coming again. It is my desire to exalt Christ and Him alone, not man, not man's works, not man's thoughts, not man's ideas, but God's Word on His Son. Preach that. Preach that. Because you know what? I don't know of any firmer rock to stand on. I don't know any firmer rock to stand on. I don't know any surer method than to point people to Jesus Christ. And I don't know of a greater cause or a bigger purpose than to point people to the Lord Jesus Christ. How about your home? Build on the rock. Build on the rock. Founded on Christ, founded on His Word, founded on prayer. Is church a given? And we'll look at some other things, Lord willing, next week. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You and praise You for the solid rock for which we have rested our soul and we rest our families upon. God, I pray and ask that You would help us to be conformed to the image of Your dear Son day by day. God, I pray that we would not look at ourselves and be satisfied. But Father, that we would look and say, God, change me here. Help me to be stronger here. Lord, forgive me there. Give me the grace not to do this, not to do that. God, I pray that You would strengthen us. I pray that You'd strengthen this church. God, I pray that when any soul enters the door, they will have found a resting place, a place where Your Spirit will commune with their spirit, a place where they can find firm footing on Your Word and on the Lord Jesus Christ. God, we thank You for the rock, which is Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.